What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Who's ready? It's time for the biggest eyewear and eye care event of the season, Vision Expo East. Glasses addicts and eye care pros will be taking New York City by storm March 21st to the 24th, and we can't wait to see you there. Vision Expo East is the one-stop complete event for ophthalmic professionals, where eye care meets eyewear and education, fashion, and innovation all combine for a can't-miss experience. New this year, Opticon at Vision Expo and the National Federation of Optometry Schools will debut the NFOS College Bowl this year's Vision Expo East. It's a fast-paced quiz competition that will test 12 students from the member colleges on their optical knowledge. And there's over 300 hours of education with new courses and specialty tracks, including a new myopia track and the Leadership Forum, where you'll master public speaking and storytelling your brand. On the show floor, you can shop more than 5,000 fashion and luxury brands for an unforgettable buying experience. And new exhibit hall neighborhoods are making their debut at Vision Expo East. The Block and Next will be highlighting celebrity designed eyewear and emerging designers in the Career Zone, which is a new destination for corporate optical companies and attendees to network and meet face-to-face. And the networking opportunities, they're unparalleled. You can mix and mingle with the brightest stars, movers, and shakers in eye care on the show floor for receptions, ODs on Facebook party, and the Vision Expo opening party, to name a few. The relationships and experiences you create at Vision Expo East extend long after you leave the show floor. This year, Defocus Media listeners can enjoy free registration for the event. Just head to http://visionexpony2019.com/DFM for your free registration. Well, hello, Defocus Media listeners. We are back with another podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly, and I'm here with my good buddy, Daryl Glover. How are you doing today?
Jen, I'm super excited because Vision Expo is right around the corner, and I'm ready.
We are upon it. I mean, like every year when the new year turns, it's always like, okay, gearing up for Vision Expo, gearing up for Vision Expo. And then when it's finally here, it's so exciting. And one of the things that we love most about Vision Expo is you get the chance to hang out with the biggest names, the movers and shakers in optometry in person. But sometimes we get to hang out with them on the podcast beforehand. And we've got someone who definitely fits the bill today as our guest. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Jack Schaefer.
Hello, everybody.
So Dr. Schaefer, I mean, for many of our listeners, you need no introduction, but why don't you give us one anyway? We want to hear about you and your career in optometry.
Well, I appreciate it. First of all, thank you for having me on. I love when young people start new businesses, so it's great to be on this podcast, first of all. So I'm Dr. Jack Schaefer. I am part of My Eye Doctor. Before that, I was president, CEO, and chief optometrist at Schaefer Eye Center in Birmingham, Alabama, in Birmingham, Huntsville, Montgomery, Tuscaloosa. We had 22 doctors, 148 employees. Practice true full-scope primary eye care. Three children who are optometrists. One went to SCO, one went to Alabama, one went to Illinois College of Optometry. So I got all that covered. We're all University of Georgia graduates. We love Vision Expo. We love the AOA. So let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, and I love your passion about this, because not only can you see the passion and the success that you had in your career, but whenever you have your children pursue the profession of optometry, that is someone who's really passionate about optometry.
Well, it's a blessing. I mean, I have, first of all, they're very good at what they do. They love being doctors. They love being optometrists. It's just one of the greatest things that could happen to somebody, to be able to be with your children and hopefully give them a little bit of a future and, they take it from there. Now I am the has-been. They are the new future. So I hope I can just hang in there with them.
Without the Schaefer, every Vision Expo, I always attend one of your lectures because I love to hear you talk about the Schaefer experience. Tell me, have the kids embraced the Schaefer experience, and do they practice this every single day?
You know, it's really funny. We call it the Schaefer Eye Care Experience, SEEC. And they've been hearing that for so long. But if you look at their philosophy, and this is Dr. Brooke Kaplan, Dr. Mark Schaefer, and now the newest graduate, Dr. David Schaefer, the newest doctor, they not only live it, they live it to a higher level than I ever could. You know, and it's great to watch them really understand how important a patient is and taking care of a patient. That's what the eye care experience is about, is understand that patient comes first. You know, we've been like that before people were green and did everything for the community, they were there doing it. Schaefer Eye Center was doing it. And they've brought all that into the practice, whether it be the level of care they give, their educational ability, their ability to be compassionate and to really understand what it is to be a doctor today.
Shout out to Mark, by the way, who is really good friends with me. At conferences, we always meet up and kind of hang out because he's a big traveler too. But I wanted to pick your brain a little bit because obviously this Schaefer Eye Care experience, that's one of the core foundations of your business and why you were so successful. But you did this big group practice kind of before it was a thing. What inspired you to grow so much kind of earlier in your career before even private equity and larger practice growth was a thing happening around the country?
Well, I'd like to say it's not my ego, but people know me, probably that's one of the issues. I mean, I always wanted to have control. And to be honest, though, I wanted to be number one in the market. You know, a long time ago, I've got a lot of business education. And even though I'm a doctor and I always knew you have to be number one in the market. And you know, LensCrafters has had three or four locations. Pearl had three or four. And I don't want to compete with anybody, nor did I want them to compete with me. And back in the day, I knew people aren't going to drive 45 minutes to go see every doctor that works with you. It just doesn't work that way anymore. People are inconvenienced with traffic, et cetera. And also managed care was coming into the picture. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we had our own managed care? So actually we did. So I opened multiple locations, went to different insurance companies, developed our own managed care. We actually had a competing product with BSP and IMED. Well, there was no IMED at the time. And we joined forces with a lot of other doctors in town to build this massive panel. And having multiple locations just fit into that philosophy of being number one in a market in all ways, whether it be the practice, the specialties, locations, the glasses, the contact lenses, or the ease of convenience for our patients. And the second part was being able to give our patients what they wanted through their companies, through it personal, and through a managed care program. And you need multiple locations for that. And lastly, I wanted to hire a management team. I didn't want to manage by myself. I wanted people that were better than me, that could run operations. And you had to have a certain amount of volume to be able to afford that kind of employee. So those three steps is what sort of backed me into opening multiple practices.
I want to dive a little deeper into the specialties. I know you've been extremely successful when it comes to myopia management. Can you just give us a background and how you got started with myopia management and how you rolled it out in your numerous offices?
Yeah, well, I got started, and it's a great story. About 7 or 8 years ago, Brian Holden, and the Brian who's passed away, is one of the most unusual, phenomenal, beautiful friends I've had. He's from Australia. Founded the Brian Holden Vision Institute, and they're part of giving the selection. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's the one that really starts saying, what is wrong with you as American doctors? He gave a speech at the Academy, and it must have been 1,000 people in the room, and he had the audacity to call us names. I mean, lazy, terrible doctors. We're in the United States. We have all the resources and we're allowing these kids to become nearsighted. And he presented some of the stuff that you're going to hear at this meeting now. And this is 8 to 10 years ago. And I was like, wow, I didn't know we could do that. And as a friend, he would stay up late and tell everybody he had a passion for this. And we'd sit around and he basically told us, a group, you either do this or you're a bad doctor. And I sure didn't want to be a bad doctor. And again, Schaefer Eye Center, we believe in specialty optometry and all the different specialty areas. And here's one that was perfect. We help children. We can really educate parents how to make that child better. And in the long run, help them disease-wise, as we're going to talk about. Because a child that's a 6-diopter has twice as much chance of getting disease processes at an older age, like glaucoma, retinal detachment, macular degeneration, cataracts. All these are increased double fold by increased myopia. And if we can stop that, why would we not want to do it? So we developed that strategy literally probably 7 or 8 years ago, but it didn't catch on.
Yeah, I wanted to pick your brain on this because this is, I think, the hardest part when you have, you're personally obviously very inspired. That conversation that Brian Holden had spoke to you, but how did you make that speak to the doctors that you employed? Because with a group practice with, you said, 22 doctors, that's a lot of people to convince and influence to take up the banner for myopia management.
Well, for some of them, you can't convince. A lot of doctors will not take the time to do it, no matter what the fees are and the time is. It's a very time and educational experience to be able to do this. It's a commitment. Now, so what we did is we brought in a pediatric optometrist. And this is important to understand, that because not everybody needs a pediatric optometrist, but there's one in your city, or there's someone in your city that does this. So with my opening crow, with the 22 doctors, let's say 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 want to be involved in some level of myopia control. They may want to do the multifocal contacts, but they didn't want to do the corneal refractive therapy or the corneal reshaping. So we had doctors in our practice, so we self-referred to each other. So a doctor could choose. And one of the key things I want to be able to say on this podcast today is you don't have to practice myopia management in your practice, but you have to offer that parent the opportunity, because it's easy to do glasses. It's easy to do multifocal contact lenses. When it gets to corneal reshaping, you may not want to go down that road. But find someone in your city that does it and learn how to work with other doctors to help that child. Same thing with atropine. Some doctors don't want to monitor a child on atropine, whether it be 0.1% or 1%, whatever they decide to do at what level. Find someone in your area that does it. And as optometrists, we need to learn to refer to each other. It's a very tough situation, but we need to do it. And myopia management is the perfect way to get into inner referrals among optometrists. So that's how we dealt with it. We tell our doctors, because we didn't tell our doctors what to do. We said, here is one of the specialties we have. Here is the protocol. Please follow this, or at least educate the patient, refer to one of the other doctors that want to now do the therapy.
You know, I really like that. I think that's very key. You know, you keep your patients held to your practice because you refer within that circle, and that's going to keep your patients loyal to your practice as well. So I take my hat off to you in regards to that.
Well, keep in mind, it's not just to my practice. There are things that and Schaefer, I said, it's not much we didn't do. In fact, we wanted to do LASIK. I said, okay, we just want to hire a LASIK surgeon, which we did. We've been doing LASIK for 20 years. But we have to learn to refer outside of our practices as an optometrist in a city. Let's just take Raleigh, North Carolina. There are many optometrists in your city that do myopia management. I'm talking about atropine and corneal reshaping when they need it. There are plenty of optometrists in your city that don't do that. But if you develop a relationship with that other doctor, look, I'm going to send you Johnny, who's 7 years old, that's a minus half myope, so we can go ahead and really shape his life. But I'll see the rest of that patient. We as doctors become better people, because the more you give, the more you get back. And that parent will not only explain everything that's going on that you're doing for him by referring him, you're not going to lose the rest of the family, because, again, the person you referred it to would dare not to see anybody else in the family because it was a referral. And like I said, we as a profession need to move into that inner referral relationships, and especially with myopia control, because there's not one single child who has an eye exam today that should not be reviewed as a possible candidate for myopia management, because we know that over 50% of them will end up nearsighted at some point in time. Why not make that a better life for them?
Absolutely. How important do you think, and I think this is why we've had so much issues in optometry, the fact that we don't have an FDA approval on being able to say orthokeratology does myopia control or soft multifocal contact lenses do myopia control. Everything we have to do is off-label. Do you feel like that's a big hurdle for doctors? And if so, do you think there's ever a future where we can get FDA approval on this kind of stuff?
Well, first of all, we do off-label every single day with even like a drug like Restasis, using 3 times a day is off-label. There are so many off-label things we do in our practice. We are doctors. We make a decision on what is best for that patient. If you look at the literature, especially the international literature, especially the literature you're going to hear at the Vision Expo myopia management course, there's no doubt evidence-based medicine shows this absolutely helps children. There's no question about it. So as a doctor, you make a decision. You either do it or refer it. There's no way a single optometrist or ophthalmologist could look at me or anybody else and say, there is no data, or I can't do this because not FDA approval. You just can't do that because as a doctor, the data's there. The evidence is so much research has been done internationally that we can follow, that there's so many things that we do that have less evidence-based treatment processes. So even, you know, wearing a pair of executive bifocal glasses, there is proof that shows that helps that child. So an FDA approval is not needed for myopia management. And again, we've been treating myopia for years. We've been doing corneal reshaping for years. So whether you do it as a myopia control and or just to make that help that child be less nearsighted, there should be no stumbling block except for the fact that you either want to take the time and the effort to understand the specialty and or you don't. And if you don't, you need to hurry up and find a way to find a doctor that's working with, will work with you and at least help your patients. Because again, most optometrists are the most wonderful people in the world. We truly are one of the best professions that is around. We really care for patients. So the majority of optometrists already know what they want to do. What this course will do, what other courses will do, is help guide them through the process of how do you do this.
So let's talk about this a little bit more in detail. Let's talk about some of the factors that can really impact how we do myopia control. Managed vision care. What are your thoughts in regards to managed vision care, and how is this going to impact how we do myopia control?
Oh gosh, it's so great. So first of all, if you go to the Managing Myopia Possibilities and Probabilities course at Vision Expo at 9:45, I have to do that commercial. Sorry, guys. On Saturday, you will learn all of this with some of the best faculty, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But managed care, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to us and myopia management. None of us like managed care, but we all love managed care because it brings patients in the door. No one wants to get paid X amount of dollars for an exam when they should be, when they're charging three times that as other medical specialties. No one likes to cut their fees by a third. But the best thing about this is a fee for service. We don't want managed care to handle this because optometry needs to grow up as a medical profession, just like dermatology, like plastic surgery, like dentistry. You don't go in a dentist's office today and say, okay, I want whatever my insurance will cover. What to do is just pull all your teeth out. You don't do that. You say, okay, here's what I need. Oh, you need a crown. Well, your insurance could be $100 and you're going to pay $3,400 extra. Very few people say, no, pull my tooth. They fix their crown. But here's the same thing. Someone comes in with a managed care plan. You do an eye exam, say, whoa, you look like you may be a candidate for myopia management. And we can explain that in the course. We're going to have you back and or we can do this. Here is the fee structure for us to evaluate this child for a myopia management process. And you develop a fee structure for that. Now, this is a fee for service out of pocket. So the patient's paying. Now, if you make that presentation to 10 patients, even if four patients decide, yes, I'll do that, you've done those four patients a major service. And let's look at the other six. The six or seven that did not follow your advice, at least they have the education. They're not going to go on the internet and say, what is this myopia management? Oh, my doctor told me about that. It would be X amount of dollars extra and I don't want to spend it. That's their choice. Our choice is to offer the program. So managed care is the best thing that could happen because it's going to bring the child in for the eye exam where you can then determine through a basic eye exam who needs to be triaged to myopia management, who needs to be tapped on the head and said, you're doing great. I'll see you next year.
Let's preview your panel a little bit deeper because the panel is called Managing Myopia, Possibilities and Probabilities. It's with the Brian Holden Vision Institute. It'll be held on Saturday, March 23rd, 9:45 to 11:45, of course, at Vision Expo East. What are you guys covering in this course? Who's on the panel? Give us the full rundown.
Okay, first of all, I am so excited to even have my name associated with these people. I mean, this is like, I've never seen a panel with a better group of doctors than this panel. So I'm going to start with Dr. Earl Smith. Dr. Earl Smith is Dean of the University of Houston School of Optometry. He is truly a scholar. And he helped write the initial papers with Brian Holden that started the whole concept of, wow, my opium management really does work. Here are the stats. So you're dealing with one of the true scholars in myopia management. He will be part of this panel. The next two are amazing. So I didn't know Judith and Michael Morton, various Judith Stern and Michael Morton. They're from the Brian Holden Vision Institute. And if anybody didn't know Brian Holden, truly one of the most amazing optometrists or ever to live in my lifetime. There's only about five people that I think truly shaped this world, and he was one of those five. But he trained everybody. And the funny thing about Brian Holden, Brian was a great guy. He was brilliant, but he also loved to travel, loved nice things in life. In other words, I hate to use that term. He loved the Benjamins, because that's a bad term now.
It's all good.
I asked Judith and Michael, and I'll tell you the credentials. Why are y'all doing this? I know where Brian did it. I mean, he built a whole institute with his name on it. He's world renowned. You know, why are you doing this? And they both said the same thing. We just want to help the children of the world because we know we can. That's our goal, to help the children of the world. And, you know, it was not about travel. It's not about lecturing. It was about helping the children of the world. So, and Judith Stearns, head of education for all of the Brian Holden Vision Institute, Michael Morton is the head of online education. These guys have developed a nine-hour course on myopia management. And you're going to get to see them in person go through it, not only panel talking with each other, we're going to have workshops. So the three of them and myself will be part of this lecture. And I do want to thank Vision Expo. A year ago, they sat down with Pam and said, from Brian Holden Institute, the director, and said, we need to do something. We need to do something that's exciting, that's new, that's on fire. But last year wasn't. Nobody was talking about myopia management a year and a half ago. And all of a sudden, in the last 4 months, it's been on the cover of two magazines. There's an entire SLR has developed a whole panel on myopia management. Cooper Vision's developing products just for myopia management. This is going to be the hot topic of the next 3 years. And they were forward enough thinking to say, let's get something started. So everybody's going to see the first of what could be one of the greatest panels you've seen at any eye meeting sitting together, two of them flying in from Australia just to present this 2 hours. So, and the workshop is going to go through everything. It's going to do an overview, high myopia, how to deal with the prevalence. We're going to show stats, but we're not going to get boring, I promise. And then we're going to talk about the IMI, the Institute of Myopia Institute, all the key findings. So you can say, the heck with the FDA. Look at these findings. There's no question what's going on here. Then we can talk about myopia risks and the strategies to manage those risks. And then we're also going to talk about the treatment options, glasses, soft contact lens, multifocal distance vision only, corneal refractive therapy, and atropine, and how to monitor each one and where to go. We're going to teach about a risk calculator. When every patient comes in, you'll be able to sit down and put them in a risk calculator and show the parent and yourself, here's the risk factors for this child becoming a 4-diopter, 5-diopter, and a 6-diopter myope. So this literally is going to be a totally comprehensive course. So here are the stats. Here's how to monitor. Here's how to treat. And here's how to develop the business side of myopia management.
Well, I'm super excited. I must admit, I'm ready to go ahead and implement this into the practice down in my eye doctor, Raleigh, North Carolina. I think it'll be great.
Well, again, I talk with your CEO, and y'all are going to institute it. And
sweet.
It is, like I said, this is truly one of the most exciting specialties in optometry. Glaucoma is always, exciting and fun. Dry eye is exciting and fun. But here's something this is what we do. Everybody treats glaucoma, every doctor in the world. I mean, eye doctor. Everybody treats dry eye and red eyes. Myopia management's ours. This is optometry. This is a refractive issue, and we take a refractive issue and change it into a sight changing and life-changing lifetime of help for a child. I mean, what could be more exciting? Oh, let me add this. It is the most profitable specialty you could have in your practice. We know that we're going to lose glasses to the internet. Who cares? That's going to happen. People are going to buy glasses on the internet. Probably half of glasses sales are going away to the massive change. Hopefully not my eye doctor. But we are going to lose glasses. And what are you going to do? There's only so much glaucoma. There's only so much dry eye. Here's a specialty that's walking in your door every day that is more profitable than any other specialty you have. And the great thing is it's an out-of-pocket expense, and you're changing people's lives. What could be better than that?
Yeah, no, we're all fired up. Like, I did want to pick your brain a little bit because obviously you have this excellent panel. Like, this is the place to be on Saturday morning education for Vision Expo. But you're such an expert at these conferences. You're a Vision Expo habitual attender. Can you give us a little bit of some of the stuff that you love to do at Vision Expo East in New York?
What I like to do, I'm lecturing for 9 hours, so all I do is talk. In fact, by Saturday, I hope I have a voice left. Vision Expo is, you know, if you're in practice today, Vision Expo is like the best thing you could do. You have the best education of all meetings. So, you know, the same lecturers at AOA, AAO, the lecturers are all there. So you get the CEU on all, and that's what I'm involved with, continuing education. But then you need equipment. And we're going to talk about, by this course, we can talk about equipment needed. Every vendor's there. You can, whatever piece of equipment you need for your office, whatever technology you need, software, it's all there. You can spend an entire time, 3.5 days doing nothing but equipment and technology. Then you got glasses. So every frame company that in the world of significant is there. And don't forget, we have lenses now because lenses are a big part of what we do. And every lens manufacturer is there. Oh, by the way, every drug manufacturer, every farm company of any significance is at Vision Expo. So whether you're going for the technical side, the medical side, the technology side, the equipment side, the continuation side, it's all there. I mean, everything. And there are lots of parties, but I can't invite you any of my parties. I invite the two of y'all. Any party that I go to, the two of you are invited because you let me do a podcast all day. So you're invited to any party, but you will have to bring the driver.
That's the great thing about New York is you really don't have to worry about that part. If you can't walk there, you can definitely Uber there usually.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's an exciting week. And, you know, like I said, I look forward to seeing all my friends, the community, the involvement, the continuing education, the learning. And again, I wish I could spend an entire week. I wish it was open for a week because you can't get it done. The biggest problem with Vision Expo, there's so much to do. When it's over, you say, oh my gosh, I didn't do this, and this. And I thought,
yeah, I get the same feeling every year for sure.
Yes. I think we all feel that way when it's over. It's like, shoot, how did I miss out on doing these 10 other things I meant to do while I was here?
But whatever you do, if you've listened to this, you should not miss out on the managing myopia because you rarely will ever see these three people together on a panel like that. Although we're going to do it at East and West. But, you know, to have two Australian presenters that developed a 9-hour course, they know everything. They know everything there is to know about myopia management. Plus the dean of the school, Earl Smith, that literally is, I keep using the word scholar. I don't know another way to do it. He's a very humble guy, but I'd like to be called a scholar. I know I never will. Or a humble guy, either one. So.
And, you know, Dr. Earl Smith, he's really kind of the scholar behind our whole concept of how myopia management works, which is that peripheral defocus. So you're learning from the top minds here on this panel.
Absolutely, Jen. So you guys make sure you check out this course, Managing Myopia, Possibilities and Probabilities. It's going to be March 23rd from 9:45 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. I'm definitely going to be there. I want to see you guys there. And I look forward to all the great information that you guys are going to bless us with.
And I promise I will teach you how to run the business. You know, the funny, they brought me in for the business side. I thought I was, you know, there goes the scholarly thing, but I am going to teach you how to make myopia management a profit center in your office, true specialty profit center in your office.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.